gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I think we all have in our lives those before and after events, right? The way things were before, and then something happens, and the way they are after, and we remember them. And I think we often remember the bad ones, right? Like a relative of mine who was having dizzy spells and was rushed to the hospital on just an ordinary work day, and they said, well, this is a brain tumor, right? There was that just ordinary Tuesday when all of a sudden her and all of our lives changed. But there's also the really positive events, and I wonder sometimes how much we think of those as well, right? I think, and they're mostly, again, on just ordinary days. I think of the day in July when I just went for a walk with a friend, and she said, you know, I work with this guy, and I think you guys would be really great together, and I wish you would just call him, right? Ordinary summer night, and I called my now husband. Right? And the rest was history. There was a before and there was an after, but it all hinged on that one night with that one walk with my friend. We have those events in our lives too. God comes to us in these ordinary days and blesses us, and our lives change. That's what Christmas is about. That's what this season is about. That's what our story today with Zechariah and Elizabeth, I think, is about. Zechariah and Elizabeth is the cousin of Mary, are just going about their daily lives. They're doing their work. So Zechariah is a priest. This is his work. And twice a year, the priests were called to go to Jerusalem. So he had taken his rotation, his turn to go, and he goes to Jerusalem. And this is pretty special, though. He got to go in the Holy of Holies. Not everybody got to do that. And it was his turn, and he got to go in. And when he went in there on this ordinary day doing his job, an angel of the Lord comes to him and says to him, you and Elizabeth will have a baby. Now, this is a big deal because they hadn't been able to have children. And at the time, it was seen as some kind of curse on a family from God. And their lives were changing in this big and radical way. Now, this reading was really long, so they took out the middle. But what actually happens in that part is John says to the angel, no way, that's not going to happen. Not John, I'm sorry, Zechariah says, that's not going to happen. We're too old. Like, we're not going to have a baby. And so the angel strikes him mute, and he doesn't speak for the remainder of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And I always look at that, and I think, you know, that's a little bit harsh, isn't it? Right? But then I thought, well, maybe he did that so he wouldn't say anything else stupid to the angel, like protecting him somehow. Just keep your mouth shut, Zechariah, right? I'll do it for you. I don't know. But he does this to him, and I thought it's a little harsh because isn't that a pretty rational reaction, right? That's a reaction many of us might have. Think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They'd been living a long time knowing they did not and would not have children. And for so many of us, when there are hard things in our lives, we just learn to make peace with them. We don't like them necessarily, but somehow we learn to live with them. And to think that that might change in some way is hard to believe. For as people of resurrection, right, as people who say we believe in new life, I think too often we are like Zechariah and are like, yeah, nice words, angel, but nothing's ever really going to change, right? We don't believe it can happen. So we're really in many ways no different than Zechariah, but God shows us things can change. I had a friend who grew up, and he had an abusive father, alcoholic father. And he always told me how much he hated Christmas, actually. He hated Christmas because as a kid, he would be home from school more often. And his dad was always stressed out. And his dad was always drinking more because of the holidays. And it was just, he was scared to be home. He didn't like Christmas. He'd prefer to have been in school and just in his routine where he could mostly avoid his dad. And so I always think of him this time of year. And after he got a little bit older, he just broke off his relationship with his dad because it was not healthy for him in any way. He broke it off, and the dad moved away, got divorced from his mom, and he hadn't heard from his dad in a long time, but he'd made peace with it, as much as he could, right? He'd gone to therapy, he had his own family and his own kids, and of course he grieved the loss of his dad, but he'd made peace with it. Until one night, you know, like ordinary Wednesday night, he's eating popcorn in front of the television or something, and the phone rings, and it's his stepmom, the man that his dad had married. I don't think he ever called her his stepmom, but, and she said, you know, your dad would really, really like to see you. And he's afraid to call you because he knows, you know, everything he's done. And my friend called me and was like, can you even believe this? He's like, there's no way. And then he said what I think a lot of us often think, I'll believe it when I see it. And so I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to set him up to be hurt. But I said, well, if you'll believe it, if you see it, then go. Maybe it's true, right? And but he didn't want to unravel all of that work he'd done, which I get, makes you vulnerable. In the end, he went, and his dad was a changed person. His dad had gotten sober, which for many of us, if we've dealt with alcoholism, we know that changes a lot. He'd gotten sober, and it maybe in his age or something, he had come to realize what his family and his kids meant to him. And my friend and his dad, in the last years of his dad's life, were able to reestablish a relationship, right? It happened. Now, I am not saying that happens all the time because it doesn't always, but sometimes it does. And that's a miracle. And that's what we hold on to. And that's what we want to believe in, that there is room for change in the world. That relationships can be saved or made new, that God is working, that not everything will stay the same tomorrow as it is today. And maybe it wasn't this relationship being mended, maybe there'd be something else good that God did. But God is moving in our lives. And if we are people of resurrection, we believe in the new things that God is doing. I think sometimes as people, maybe it's human nature, we're really good at remembering the bad things, right? What do they say? It takes like 2,000 compliments and one bad thing, and you'll remember the bad thing, right? This is just who we are. But I was thinking about even as a nation, how there are pivotal events in our nation that we remember. And many of them are sad or hard. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should remember them. But like 9/11, right? Pearl Harbor. There are all these, you know, things we remember that are so hard. And I started wondering about, do we remember the good pivotal changes? We celebrate the 4th of July. But then I was like, what about the Emancipation Proclamation? I wonder what date that is. And what about the day the women got the right to vote? That's a pretty awesome thing in our history, right? And there are these other dates in our history that were pivotal, that were before and after, were a good thing happening, and we don't even remember them. And I don't know, maybe that's not related at all, but it kind of felt to me like how we are as people. Somehow we hold on to those hard, sad things, and we just forget about the good things that are going on. So today, in the midst of Advent, as we prepare for a baby who came into the world to change things, I want you to think about those good pivots in your life, those places where something changed and good happened because of it, when a new person came into your life, or a new job, or a new, you name it. What is it? I don't know. You bumped into a stranger in the grocery store and they became a friend. Like there are all these little things, these little moments in our lives that God uses in our ordinary everydays to do good, to change things for good. Today is the day after the solstice, right? Yesterday was the solstice, the longest night of the year. And I have, some family in Alaska who say they get really excited. Like the solstice, they always do fireworks and stuff up there. But now every day there will get longer by 7 minutes. Right? up to the solstice, it gets darker every day by 7 minutes. And now it'll get lighter every day by 7 minutes, right? We're on that. Yesterday was that pivot, right? It was hard. It was long. And now it's better. Every day there's more light. And that's what our God wants us to hold on to. There will be plenty of bad things, right? Elizabeth and Zechariah felt cursed. But our God is not a God of curses. The bad things that happen to you in your life are not a curse from God. They're just life. They're just bad things. It's just bad luck or happenstance or whatever, wrong place at the wrong time. But the blessings of love that God brings into our world are every bit as real and maybe more real than all of those bad things. So in this Advent season, as we wait for the baby, look at those good things in your life. Hold on to them and believe that the birth of a baby makes a difference in the world and that God will make a difference in your world. And get ready for it. Get ready. We get ready for so much, but again, I was thinking, what are we really good at? Disaster preparedness, right? When we travel, I've always got my emergency kit, right? And most often people have stuff for like real emergencies. I have like granola bars in case the kids get hungry, right? But I always am ready for the worst case scenario. But are we ready for the best? Are our eyes open? Are our hearts open? Are we looking for what God is doing? Because life is more than disaster preparedness. Life is waiting and looking and knowing that God will do good things, even on an ordinary work day.